Rightside Radio. Phil Williams here live, but not in the Rightside studio today. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it's Wednesday. It's the beginning of the third hour. That can only mean one thing. It's time for a thing we call the Grand Council. I bring in two of my brethren and talk radio. They've been doing this for a while. We ping each other with questions. We just see where the chips fall. It turns into an interesting conversation sometimes. So let me call the roll. Looking to my north, it's 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Cumulus Broadcasting, host of the Dale Jackson Show. Also, by the way, does a lot of stuff with Yellowhammer News. Also, by the way, has a TV gig. Dale Jackson, are you there?
Dale just, we lost him, so
FYI. Did we just lose Dale?
As you were introing him, so let me turn him back.
Dadgummit. All right, well, you get him back, and I won't call a quorum until I know for a fact. But, turning to the south. From FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show. Oh, by the way, he's the editor-in-chief for 1819 News. And, oh, by the way, works with Lanyap and, by the way, with Breitbart. Jeff Poor, are you there?
I am present.
Well, I'm glad. And hopefully we'll get Dale back. Dale, are you back? Is he back now? What's we got? All right, stand at ease. I pronounce a quorum. Hit it before we lose Dale again.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da. All right, I'll tell you what, Jeff Poor, you first, man. What question do you have for the crew?
Let's talk about what happened last night, the three elections, the two Florida races, Wisconsin. Kind of looking at the numbers a little closely today. Maybe not an ideal night for Republicans. They took an L. But I think Democrats underperformed. I don't think the resistance is here yet. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with that. So, and that's not just like puff talk by another Republican. I agree with you on the numbers. I think that they underperformed, and when you consider the fact that judicial race in the Supreme Court for Wisconsin, I think it was we got outspent by the tune of $7 million, most of which came from George Soros funding, and you know they called about the billionaires swooping in to help the Republicans. The billionaires were funding the Democrats to an exponential degree, and it was not a huge spread in the vote count. So I do believe that it was a shame that we lost. I think down in Florida, I think the truth is that Trump's appearance towards the end of that race wound up being something that did help. As opposed to hurt. And I think it might have been a little tighter if it had not been for Trump's appearance. So, no, I don't think the resistance is truly here yet. The D's needed a win, and they're going to claim it was, but I don't think it was the panacea for all their needs. Dale, what do you think?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that they get more excited about these special elections and off-year things because they're constantly agitated already. We mock them for only putting 200 people at these fake town halls and going to the park in Huntsville every weekend and the park in Chattanooga every weekend and the park in Birmingham every weekend and screaming about Jews and carving Nazi signs in Teslas. Come election day, even if it's a random Tuesday in April, they show up. And so you get that small number of very ginned up people. And they're going to deliver for them. And that's just the reality that we have to accept. So I don't think it's maybe a huge sign or something, but it's not good. I mean, Republicans can say they held serve if they want. But, I mean, they clearly lag behind a general election percentage-wise. That happened. But what does it mean? I don't know.
Your own question, Jeff. What are you thinking?
Yeah, a couple of things. So it's not a long-term strategy, like you were saying, Dale. I don't think that's a sign of good health of the Democratic Party at large. They can win special elections. They can even probably take back Congress in the midterms. They're not going to win a presidency based on this number of people that who show up in big numbers for these special election races. They have a very, very, very vocal, very fervent support, but it's such a small number. It is good for picking off small fights, but the big fight, I think they're going to lose, and I think last night was sort of indicative of that.
Yeah, and I'll add one more piece to that too, Jeff. One of the issues they've got on the national stage is they don't truly have leadership to rally around or to give them guidance, and so their messaging sucks. And right now, their whole campaign platform is no Trump, bad Musk, And if the economy begins to tick up, if things are looking positive, if the general sense of the populace is we like where we are, that message is not going to resonate much longer. I mean, right now they've got the fervor of we're in the honeymoon and the anti-honeymoon phase. But if the economy continues to tick up, they're going to lose that last message they've got unless they find something to stand on. So there's that. Dale Jackson, what question do you have for the crew?
So there's been some talk today about Elon Musk potentially stepping away from the government here shortly. And then we also have these tariff things going on. Which lasts longer? Elon Musk's run as a special employee of the government or these tariffs Donald Trump put into place today?
Jeff, you want to take it first?
I don't know. I think the tariffs are very flexible. They're a negotiating tactic. I think they could go away at any moment. The stuff Elon Musk put in place, obviously not codified into law, could go away at any moment. Neither are built long for this world, but I think we'll be talking about Elon Musk a lot longer than we will be talking about tariffs.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think that so these tariffs, they are a bargaining chip. They're part of the projection of foreign policy power. And but the reality is, if Canada will stop putting a 200% tariff on American butter, that tariff goes away tomorrow. If Japan will stop doing a 700% tariff on American rice, then that tariff goes away tomorrow. So I guarantee you there's a bunch of trade negotiation going on in the background that some of this will begin to go away. But what will happen is the cascade effect. As one nation watches the others begin to negotiate something favorable that America can live with, then other nations will realize you can actually negotiate this. And so I think we're going to come out of this pretty quick. The left needed to say bad Trump, and so they're trying to use this as the Armageddon for the economy. But I don't think it's going to be. And I think it's going to wind up being short-lived. By the way, Elon Musk, I think he only said he's going to be there for like 130 days anyway. And so that's going to happen. Any more on that, Dale? Is your question?
I think Musk will be gone before the tariffs are gone. I think it is a strategy. But Donald Trump eventually is going to have to stick with this until he gets it once. And I don't think that's done in the next couple of months. So I think we're in tariff time right now. And I think we're going to ride this out. If he folds, this is a big deal, because this is the first real big swing here. If he folds,
I don't think he's going to fold. We may have just lost Dale again. I don't think he's going to fold. I think he's going to wind up riding this thing out. JP, did we lose Dale? Is he still there?
I'm saying he's still here. I'll work on it, though.
I'm here. Right,
working. Oh, good. Well, we're glad. All right, let me jump on one question here with about 2 minutes to go. Alabama, let's take it local. The legislature has been struggling to get a prison construction done, and we are a $800 million prison plan that is now well over $1 billion, and they just extended another $500 million in mega prison bonding authority this week. Is this going to be a $2 billion prison before it's done? Are we ever going to see prisoners going to this prison? Jeff, you're down there a lot. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I think $2 billion is probably where it's headed. I think they'll borrow all that money, even though they say they aren't going to. Now, look, here's what we need to watch on the second prison. Are they going to do the stupid construction management boondoggle, or are they going to try to bid it and have a general contractor, the way we've always done stuff in this state, and hold these people, when they commit to a price, hold them to that price and not leave a lot of flexibility for nothing more than change orders? That's the question. That's what we need to see. If they don't do that, and there's a real push from within not to do that, to just say the hell with it and go, you know, the hell with what the public thinks, and do it the way we did the Elmore County prison, then it's going to be very costly.
Oh my gosh. I mean, we're overcrowded. There's definite need. I've toured the infrastructure. It's we got some crumbling, you know, architecture that needs to get, you know, replaced, but this is absolutely asinine the way it's going right now. Dale, weigh in on it.
I mean, can't we have the RSA build it like they built the state house?
That makes the most sense, and then we lease it back from the RSA.
Yeah.
I listen, it boggles the mind. When it comes down to the idea that the RSA can build anything and get it done well, and then we lease it forever and ever, amen, and yet we can't do it otherwise. It's just
let me add to that. Nuts. I mean, isn't that the problem with government, that they can't do this? They have to get a third party to come in. Well, if that's the case, if RSA is so good at this, then why can't our Republican supermajority fix this?
I don't have an answer for you on that. But then if RSA is also so good at this, then why do we keep mandating a guaranteed 8% return? Why doesn't RSA get their own 8% return without the upfunding from the legislature? I mean, it's the whole thing is a conversation that needs to happen. But we got to take a break, so that conversation is over. All right, we're taking a break right now. God, that was fast. Round one, the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. And just little old me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're going back to round two of the Grand Council. And I'll remind you guys that the Grand Council brought to you every single week by DeKalb MD. That's DeKalb MD. And I'll tell you more about them here in just a few minutes. Second round, first question. Jeff Poore, what do you got?
So I'm hearing in the State House, obviously, today. And there's a little concern here. The overtime tax not getting extended is going to come back and haunt some members. I think those who would prefer it go away quietly in the night without much rancor, but the Democrats are going to try to make some noise about it. Republicans who get on board with the effort, there could be a real split here between the leadership. Are they more, is this much ado about nothing, or do you think this could catch on if the overtime tax expires? It's perceived to be a tax increase.
Yeah, so it's amazing what can become viral real quick. I mean, more than once I saw a bill that no one thought was going to have traction or that even saw it coming suddenly become the most viral thing of the legislature. And the big example for me has always been when we got autism approved for coverage by insurance, and Blue Cross fought it like tooth and nail, and all of a sudden it became the most viral thing in the state, and it passed. And it didn't matter who said what, it was going to pass. But so this particular case, I think that the citizens need to make sure they tell them, look, if you could spend $500 million more on a $1 billion cost overrun for prisons, and you can raise fees on businesses, and you can do all the things you say you're doing, and you also just discovered you have a budget surplus that you didn't know you were going to have because revenue projections are better than they were, then by God, how about you just keep the overtime tax exemption in place that you said was a great idea last year? This should be a no-brainer. It's low-hanging fruit, and yet for some reason, the weak sisters have decided we just gave away too much money. We can't. We got to have it back. And it's maddening to me to watch them claim to be conservatives and to do this very thing with an existing tax break. I could go all day on this one, Dale. What do you got?
Well, I mean, if I was Anthony Daniels, this is what I would say. I would say, do tax cuts cost money or not? I mean, the whole philosophy behind almost every tax cut from Republicans is the idea that it generates more money than the cut cost. And the argument by Democrats is, no, it's a tax cut, and it takes money out of our precious treasury. Why don't these idiots get together, actually believe, and then go with that?
No, it's a great point. In fact, Anthony Daniels was on my show a couple of weeks ago, and he said that he's actually had constituents who called him and said, I was able to hire more people because since I could get more people to work overtime, I was able to get more contracts. And so what it basically did was it generated income, and it generated new business opportunities. This is a mistake if they let this go, and I'll make hay over it. Listen, will it be a death knell to some political careers? I don't know. But it could go viral here real quick, and it could actually pass with bipartisan support. Jeff, your thoughts?
Well, y'all need to take names here. Watch this close. There's a real chasm here between the two sides of the Republican caucus, and I think it's bubbling underneath. But you heard it here first. I mean, I think you're going to see. It could get real ugly, depending on, because people, there's a little bit of a problem here with Republicans going that hard for a Democrat bill, and it's gonna ruffle some feathers.
So let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Here's my question: is there a philosophy in the legislature right now that if you don't have enough, if the Republicans don't agree with it, we're not going to do it? Meaning, will they work with all the Democrats against a majority of Republicans in order to make this happen? Will they do that?
No, that will not happen. But no. There will be names, there will sponsorships on bills, and a lot of rhetoric back and forth. And why did they hold in high esteem in this building? Is that kind of, they got to work together as a team, guys. You know, they do value bipartisanism for some reason, but you don't turn on your own party. That's a cardinal sin, and that's sort of where we're at right now.
Well, here's the thing: that if that's happening, then they are strictly about. Which, by the way, I'm all for party. I get that it's your team, but they are losing the sight of the fact that they have principles, and the principles say that small government and lower taxation and those principles are the guiding force. And what they're going to say is, well, because a Democrat actually carried this bill, then, you know, it's no longer one of our principles.
Well, so, and I can speak to that a little bit. I mean, they had a caucus meeting. They decided that this is the way they're going to go. They're going to do the grocery tax. They're going to do the tax deduction expansions. And then that was going to be it. They weren't going to pursue this policy. And there's some Republicans who said, to hell with that. We don't, you know, and well, we thought we had this all settled, and here you are making a big deal about this again. So I will watch. I mean, I think you're going to have a real fight here internally in the House GOP.
Well, God forbid we should have a real fight in the GOP. I mean, right now what happens is when the Democrats are you know, woefully behind on everything, Republicans get fat and lazy. So the idea that we're finally going to have a fight about something meaningful like a tax break is actually a pretty good thing. I say fight publicly. Get out there and have the debate, and talk about why the principle doesn't matter as much as, you know, what happened in the caucus meeting. And those are important, and I get it.
And not to make this a really long segment about me, but I think that you've got to show that there's political consequences in taking one side or another. If you don't do that, then the sheep are just going to follow the herd. And there's got to be, they got to make it known that this is like a real, there's real consequences here for not doing the right thing.
Well, I'm not sure where we're going with that, but the music's playing, so I got no choice but to say we're done. But the reality is this: Republicans got to stand for something or just stand for an R, and that's all it is. All right, fellas, appreciate you. That ran quick. All right, y'all, Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and me, the Grand Council, every week on the third hour on Wednesdays. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.